402. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church Radio broadcast already in progress.
He lets us know that God is for us. See, God is for us, and he proved that he is for us because he allowed his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And this means that when he is for us and when he allows his son to die for us, that lets us know that not only is he for us, not only is his son for us, but praise God, bringing the whole thing, the whole Trinitarian God together, the Holy Spirit is for us. Because God is for us, God is making all things to work out for our good. We just talked about that a couple of weeks ago when you look at Romans 8:28. And we know, praise God, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, this is something that I know. Praise God, that all things work together for good to them that love God and those who are called according to what? His purpose. Praise God. And since we know that, praise God, then we know, praise God, that we are, that God is in fact for us. You see, his person is for us. His provision is for us. God is for us. Sometimes we may think that things are working against us, when in actuality, praise God, everything is working for us. Amen. Praise God. Somebody gonna get this on the way home. When you are going through some things, it may appear that things are not just working for you. But don't you know that God takes everything and he puts it together for your good? I'm talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yeah. He takes it and put it together, and it's all for your good. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So God is for us. And the question is, if he is for us, who in the world can be against us?
Yes,
amen. Amen. Think about that question.
Yeah.
If God is for us, who can be against us? Praise God. I know some pastors say, man, there's a whole bunch of folks that's against me.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. Just because they're against you, that don't mean that they can do anything to hurt you. Because you got God on your side. So we see that he is for us. God is for us. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, God is for us. Praise God. And that tells us there's no need for fear. I'm talking about nothing that his loving father desires, praise God, but only the best for his children, even if they go through trials in their life. Praise God. And they're still going to receive his best. You want to know why? Because way back, he told a prophet by the name of Jeremiah that I know your thoughts. He said, I have some thoughts for you. Praise God. Can I put that on the marquee? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Look what he says. He says, for I know the thoughts that you think toward, that I think towards you, saith the Lord. I'm talking about thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Do you know I know what my expected end is?
Yes, Lord. Yeah, Pastor.
I know what my expected end is.
Yeah.
Praise God. On February 27th, 1979, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And way back in 1979, I knew what my expected end would be. You know what my expected end gonna be?
Yeah.
Praise God, y'all can take this to the bank.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stand before God one day,
yes,
and God is gonna tell me, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Yes.
You have been faithful over a few things, but I want you to come on up, praise God, and I'm gonna make you a ruler over many. That's my expected end. That's it. I told y'all, if the rapture come, y'all can go on over to 180 Foxfire Lane. Pray God, take anything you want, because we won't be there. My wife and I are going to be gone. You want a car, take it. Amen. You want a van, take it. You want a Mercedes, take it. Probably have to jump a battery to get it started. Take it. Praise God. Amen. I won't be worrying about it. Amen. Amen. You want some land? Take it. You want a zero turn? Take it. Praise God. Because I'm going to be out of here. Praise God. And if you're going to be back here looking for some junk, shame on you. Praise God. So God is with us. That's the first reason. So we shouldn't have to worry about the love of God leaving us. But the second reason that he puts in this text, he says that Christ died for us. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't you know something, neighbor?
Don't you know something, neighbor?
Christ died for you. Amen. Look what he says in verse number 2. He says that he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Praise God. You see, the argument here that Paul is making, praise God, is from the lesser to the greater. Now let me see if I can make that plain. You see, if we were sinners, and trust me, we were, God gave his best. I'm talking about when we were sinners, he gave his best. Praise God. And now that we are God's children, will he not give us all that we need?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Man, if he gave his best,
yeah, go ahead, Pastor.
Praise God.
Yeah.
When I was out there on the floor doing the boogaloo, when he gave his best, when I was out there drinking and getting crazy out of my mind.
Yeah.
And now that I am one of his, what do you think I expect out of him now? What do you think I expect out of him now? May not have a coin in my pocket, but guess what? Praise God. The calf on a thousand hill belonged to him. So that means that I at least got one heifer. Praise God. All the silver and gold belonged to him. That means that I at least got a couple of coins of gold somewhere. Praise God. And not only are the cattle up on a thousand hills here, the hill that the cows graze on.
He owned that too.
Praise God. He owned all of that.
Yeah.
And guess what? I'm one of his children.
Yes, sir.
And praise God. So that's I don't have to worry about that because I'm secure in his love. Christ died for us.
Yeah.
But number 3. Praise God. God has justified us. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you have been justified. Now, you could say that if you have given your life to Christ. If you haven't given your life to Christ, don't you say that. Boy, why did y'all get so quiet? If you have given your life to Jesus Christ and you meant it, God has justified you. Look what verse 3 says. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. You see, God has justified us, which means that he has declared us righteous in Christ Jesus. We were just talking about this on a Wednesday night Bible study, I believe. Sister Lee, I mentioned this. If believers could understand what that really means, praise God, don't you know that they would be jumping for joy? If believers really understood what that meant. Praise God, that we are secure in the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, we are justified. We are God's elect. We are chosen, praise God, and we are accepted by Jesus Christ. And God will certainly not accuse us, amen, since it is he who has justified us. You see, for him to accuse us would mean that his salvation was a failure.
You're right. Yeah, that's right, Pastor.
Boy, I didn't get enough amens on that. Let me say that again, praise God. For him to accuse us, praise God, would mean that his salvation was a failure and that we are still in our sin. And let me tell you something, his salvation was not a failure. It wasn't a failure, praise God. You see, when we understand the meaning of this word justification, just as though you have never sinned. Praise God. I don't care what you have done. I don't care what you did this morning. I don't care what you're going to do tomorrow. Praise God. You have been justified by God if you are in Christ Jesus, because he saved you from your past sins. He saved you from your present sin. And guess what? He know that since you are in this stuff here, that you are vulnerable to commit a sin tomorrow. So when he died for you, he justified you. Praise God, just as though you have not sinned. Praise God. You see, and when God declares the believing sinner righteous in Christ, that declaration never changes. No, it doesn't change. You see, your Christian experience changes from one day to another day, but justification never changes.
It never changed.
We may accuse ourselves, and we may even be accused by other folk. Praise God. But God will never accuse us. I got one lawyer in here. Any other lawyers in here? Praise God. I know I got one lawyer in here. Praise God. See, God will never stand up and accuse you before God if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, because you do know he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Amen. You see, he will never do that. Why? Because he has already paid the penalty. Praise God, and we are secure in him. Amen. We are secure in him. So we find out first, God is for us. We find out second, praise God, that Christ died for us. And the third thing that we have found out, that God has justified us. But you want to know the next thing that this text lay out, that he has done, another reason why we don't ever worry about being separated from his love? Praise God, this one here are going to blow your socks off. Praise God, because Christ intercedes for us. Look at verse 34. Amen. Verse 34 say, who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us. You see, there is a what I call a dual intercession here. Because, praise God, if you go back to Romans chapter 8 and look at verses 26 and 27, put those on the marquee. I don't have them here on my notes here. Praise God. Verse 27, not Matthew's. I need Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Praise God. There it is. What does it say? It's likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us. Praise God, making with us groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway,